it's so exciting to be here. I was able to lead worship for the morning session last year. And I get to lead worship for the morning and evening, so I'm really excited. This semester we're doing a little, our top 10 hits with all the teachers and myself and a couple of the other moderators and people involved. So we picked a song, and then we picked a psalm that kind of helped us through the season of that song, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. But I'm going to share with you my top 10, or my song, and why it is my top 10 hit. So my song that I chose is Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse. And how many of you guys know that song? Okay, a few of you. Well, I chose this song for a couple of reasons. I heard the song during a season of my life when I finally decided to give up on my own plans. I decided to give up what I thought I was going to be doing. I decided to give up on who I thought I was going to be marrying and give it up to the Lord and say, okay, God, whatever you will, I'm in for it. So during this time, I feel like I really just fell in love with Jesus and learned more about him and learned how to submit to him. And during this time, well, actually 3 days after I had this conversation with the Lord, I met my husband, lo and behold. And what an amazing thing, because I started to fall in love with him. And so this song kind of reminds me of that season in my life. The chorus says, I'm falling even more in love with you, letting go of all I've held on to. I'm standing here until you make me move. I'm hanging by a moment here with you. And during my relationship with my husband, it was kind of, you know, it was just moment by moment. Okay, Lord, where should we go? What should we do? And he, you know, led us the entire way, just like he does all the time. He's led me in my walk, and I'm sure he's leading you in your walk. But it was during that time that I really felt his guidance and his presence in my life. And just so blessed. So the psalm I picked that goes with that. This psalm has just been so encouraging to me, and I love looking back at it and going over it and just meditating on it. It's Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24. It says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. And I just love that you will guide me with your counsel. And in the Lord's amazing ways and through his word and through other people, he definitely led me to where I should be. And here I am today, married for almost 5 years and a 20-month-old little girl and leading worship for you guys. So I am so blessed. So let's go ahead and stand up and worship. And here's Miss Lenya Heitzig, Mrs. Lenya Heitzig.
Look at all your shining, radiant faces. It's out. Wow. How many of you, this is your first time? Welcome. We're so glad you've come, and pray that you continue to join us for the next 10 weeks in God's Word and studying Live Radiantly. I said my wild, crazy dress is because I'm living radiantly, and I can't explain the shoes. You know, it's one of those things you put on you. What were you thinking when you bought those? And Penny could tell you a really good story about them. So if you talk to her later, you'll get the real scoop, and it's even worse than you thought. But we've already said that the Psalms are a place that all of us can identify with. That I feel like the Psalms are God's permission to be human. And in them are all the gamut of human emotion, from depression and despair to delight, from rage. I mean, David wants to knock people's teeth out or have God do it for him. And then he jumps into rejoicing. And so we all feel at home, like, oh, phew, someone else felt that way. And but in all of those, they filtered their feelings through faith in God. And then God would redeem and he would restore and he would regenerate and make sure that they left on a path that was in his word. And so that's the beautiful thing about Psalms. Well, the challenge that I gave the ladies you're going to meet tonight is I said, you know, the Psalms really were written as lyrics. As a matter of fact, they were written to a lyre. Thus, we get the words lyrics. And so it really was kind of like Israel's top 10 list. This is, you know, the 40s, Casey Kasem or David, you know, the psalmist, where you get to see what Israel was singing back in the day. And not only did they sing them in ancient Israel, then the early church adopted them. In the Old Testament, you'll see them singing New Testament singing psalms. And on through the ages, we sing them to this day. So many of the songs that we enjoy for worship come from the psalms. So I challenged the gals and said, why don't you take something from, you know, the pop charts or whatever, and then a psalm, and then parallel them and tell us a season in your life when you could cry forth this particular tune. So for me, I've discovered that self-reliance often leads to spiritual defiance, because it reveals that we're thinking too much about our abilities and very little of God's capabilities. And I have to confess to you, I am one of those kind of self-reliant individuals. I was raised that way. Have you ever heard a child say to their mother, I do it my own self? And I think there are times as children of God, we tell God, I'll take care of my own self. I do it, you know. And while it's good to learn independence, we must never forget that we are utterly dependent upon God. And so that's kind of one of the things that I found in my two songs. Both King David and, of course, you're going to find out now, John Lennon, what a surprise that I would pick one of the Beatles, expressed their struggle between feelings of great assurance and then confessing their need for the reassurance from someone greater than themselves. So my top number 9 hit is the Beatles' Help. And the lyrics are, you know them. You could almost sing them with me, right? Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. And then John says, when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. You've opened up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Well, I found that David in Psalm 30 kind of cried out the same thing with his words. If you look at Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 6, now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. Drop to 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my help. So David was doing much the same thing. I can relate to them. I had a very strong father, and he fostered independence in his children. And he would tell you, buck up, do it. You know, if you didn't know how to spell something, look it up, which is just never made sense to me, because if you could spell it, you wouldn't have to look it up. So I know all that kind of stuff. But as a Christian, I learned that I couldn't rely on my flesh. I needed to rely on my Heavenly Father. And so there were seasons where I really trusted in me, in my strength. And during a time of really extreme stress and extenuating circumstances, it was both times we moved to New Mexico, I found myself in circumstances beyond myself. And so I found myself in this kind of season of anxiety and despair, and I just felt like, God, where are you? Where are you? I can't hear you. I can't sense you. And surely this is not what you want in my life. You don't want this anxiety going on. And why is this happening? And why am I so cast down? And one day I walked to a park with my Bible to kind of cry out to God those questions. And he spoke to my heart, this scripture text. But let me tell you what it meant to me, and I think what it meant to David. The first thing is we find out what David felt. And what he felt was, he said in verse 6, now in my prosperity, I said, I will never be moved. Translation, when good times are good, I feel invincible. And isn't that the way we are? I got it going on. I can take care of it. I can handle myself. But earthly things have a propensity to get in the way of heavenly things. Sometimes we get so wrapped up, and eventually there comes a rude awakening. It could be financial instability, physical weakness, relational struggles, emotional turmoil, and we realize we're not all that. We don't have it going on. So when things are good, things seem good. And he said, now when I was prosperous, I thought no one could get me off my game. But the next thing he discovered is that he had forgotten something. He said, Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. What he's saying there is, you know what? I realized all my strength is drawn from God. Didn't Jesus say, without me, you can do nothing? And in those seasons of prosperity, we make ourselves out to be mountains, and really we're just molehills. And so every once in a while, God wants to remind you, you know what? You're only strong because of me. Anything good in my life comes from God. So he had forgotten that. And then he failed to see something. He further says, you hid your face from me, and I was troubled. Have you ever played the game of hide and seek? And I think this was like God playing hide and seek. And the most braggadocious brat can cry out, Uncle, when God hides him face, but for just a season. Because we realize how utterly weak we are. Our world can crumble quickly when the Lord moves out of sight. And he says, you hid your face from me, and I was troubled. The word trouble means confused, helpless, or in terror. And sometimes God has to pull himself back for us to realize we're not all that we thought we were, and to teach us that dependence upon him. But then he found out something. He turns and he says, Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain strong. You hid your face. And then he says, I cried out to the Lord, O Lord, and I made my supplication. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. I think that our safety and our strength comes when we have complete reliance and communion with God. In other words, he's saying, I realized I should be praying. Sometimes in our seasons of prosperity, we don't think we need to pray. I don't need to read or worship. I'm doing great. You know, that's just for when you're having hard times, and then I will. And David's saying, no, that's not how it should be at all. So he turns back his focus on God, and he realizes he can't go it alone, that he must depend on him in prayer during the good times and the bad times. And the most astounding thing about this text, as I end, is that God listens to his prayer. You know, if I ignored one of my friends, it might be the human response to ignore back. You don't do a nice thing, you forget their birthday, I'll make sure I forget your birthday. Or, you know, your husband does something nice and you don't say thank you, and he goes, that's the last time I'll do that. And here David has been ignoring God, taking credit for the goodness in his life, thinking that his prosperity and his security is all in his human flesh. And then he realizes that's not the case, so he cries out to God. But God doesn't ignore him back. Immediately, God comes out, and he is his helper. So that's my top 10 hit, is to be in help, to have God's help. So now we will move on to Sharon Daniels, and she's going to give you a little bit of advice about the women's study and one of her top 10.
Good evening. I oversee the morning Bible study, and I'm going to help you through your front materials in your book. On the very first page, our study is going to be from September 2nd through November 18th, identical sessions, morning and evening. On the very bottom of that first page, you'll have an opportunity to fill out that information when we break out into small groups. You'll find out your moderator's name, her telephone number, your password if you're going to be absent, how to download the homework, and so forth. On the second page is our weekly schedule, and you all can read the weekly schedule, but I want to point out that on November 4th, we have a break for Election Day. And then in the fine print, and it was up on our screens earlier, the Women at Calvary follows the APS schedule. That includes the Albuquerque schools and the Mountain schools. If there's a delay or if there's a cancellation of classes, the women at Calvary will also cancel the study. In the evening session, on the next page over, the coffee and tea are served at 6 to 6:30, so come enjoy a cup of coffee or some tea with the girlfriend, or maybe meet someone new during that time. It's going to be right out here in the foyer. Then the worship service will start, and then we'll have brief announcements. We'll have our teaching and lecture time right after that. And then you'll have a short little potty break to go to the bathroom or do whatever you need to do, and you have about 10 minutes to get to your small groups. Some of the exhortations that I'd like to go over with you: we ask that you don't take any food or drink into the carpeted areas, into the sanctuary. Please turn off your cell phones or your pagers, but if you do need to be in contact with someone, please feel free to put that on vibrate so that people can get a hold of you. If you need to leave early, there's typically chairs on the very back. You can sit back there so that you can sneak out. To allow others to fully receive what God has for them, we ask that you don't talk during worship or during the teaching. And here at the Women at Calvary, we have an open door policy. So please feel free to invite a guest at any time, to invite a neighbor, a friend, someone that you meet, just, you know, at school or at work. It's week 2, week 5. They're welcome to come anytime. We also have one-on-one prayer. We have a prayer room that is right off the sanctuary. So if you're walking down between the two buildings, the hub and the sanctuary, there's going to be a team of women that would be very happy to pray with you. Any of your needs, if you want to go in there and share a praise, that's great too. And then finally, on this page, there's a personal checklist that is right under the heading How to Use Your Bible Study. I'm going to go ahead and let you read that checklist on your own. But the final one that I would like to say is be blessed. I hope I didn't rush through that too quickly, but you have those pages in front of you if you want to go back and refer to them at any time. And my top 10 song was Somebody Bigger Than You and I. You know, sometimes it seems that our trials and our difficulties and our temptations can overshadow the blessings that God has for us, especially if we allow those circumstances or those difficulties to overshadow how big God really is. You know, my life has been spattered with lots of contrast. As many of you, we have experienced great sorrow and great joy. Mine seemed to come paired together for some reason, like my grandfather's battle with cancer and my engagement to my husband. My first move away from home as a married woman to Las Vegas, to a place I didn't know, away from people and family that I loved here. But soon after that came my first baby girl. Several years later, I had twins, and then there was the sudden death of my nephew, who was only 20 years old. And not too long after that, my beloved grandmother died. But then I had my little twins, so there was the wonder of first words and first steps times two. I need to be reminded over and over again that my God is bigger than you and I. Bigger than the biggest, bigger than the darkest night, bigger than the biggest fight, bigger than the earth is round, bigger than the saddest frown, bigger than the brightest smile, bigger than the biggest gun. He made the mountains, the trees, and the rivers that flow to the sea. He hung the moon in the starry sky. He is the only shining sun. He makes the flowers bloom in the spring, and he writes the songs for the robins to sing. He sends rain when the earth is dry. He walks with me and he guides me. He keeps me company. When I am weary and in despair, he gives me courage to go on from there. He keeps me safe. I will never die. He is my Lord and Savior. this song and those lyrics remind me so much of a psalm, so many of them, Psalm 8, Psalm 104, Psalm 19, there's so many. But the one I'd like to read to you is Psalm 8, verse 5, if I can read it. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? And then jump down to 9. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I find great comfort during these contrasts in my life, and I'm sure that you do too when you read the Psalms and God's precious word. Thank you.
Everybody's taller than me. Everybody. Get it down. I need some shoes like Lenya's. You know, you're already radiating, just like Lenya said. We're going to have to use sunglasses when we get through with the semester. You're going to be so bright and radiating. The song I chose, I'm Jerry Hedquist, and I'm the moderator overseer for the evening, in charge of training the moderators. And the song I chose is Awesome God. Now, I know you know this because everybody sings this song. It's My God is an Awesome God, and he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. My God is an awesome God. It's a Christian fight song. And I really, truly, we're in football season. It's a Christian fight song. And I've really needed that in my life right now. The waves have been really high. The seas have really been turned up, and I've been telling the Lord how seasick I'm getting out there. But our business is having trouble. We're having employee troubles. Both my husband and I have had health issues all summer. Both our grown daughters are having situations in their family, you know, stuff. And on top of that, my mother is dying. And so I am on my way to Montana next week to spend some time with her. She's not a Christian. So maybe the Lord will give an opportunity to once again tell her about Christ Jesus. And my prayer is that she will accept the Lord and escape the wrath to come. But, you know, God, this song has resonated through our family for years because my grandsons have sung this on a regular basis. Out on their bicycles, I can hear, "My God is an awesome," or playing. And so I've decided to claim it back as my own. You know, God reigns with wisdom. All the wisdom there is, nothing's gotten by him. He knows what we're going through. Power. He can change anything he wants to change. He can make a way when there doesn't even seem to be a way, or he can make us strong and walk us through it. That seems to be what he is doing with us in our family. And on top of that, he loves us so much that we can crawl up in his lap and just visualize this and put our arms around him and call him Daddy, Abba, and be comforted. And I've spent a long time in his lap in the last couple months. You know, God hasn't caused the turmoil in our lives, but he has allowed it. And he knows what he wants to do with it. He knows that he wants to do something good with it, because our good is to be conformed to the image of Christ. So we're praising him. Bruce and I, my husband, we're just praising him. First of all, that he's trusting us with this. And secondly, for what it is he's going to do with it. You know, I like Psalm 65 because it's a praise to God for his salvation, but also his providence. And the one that really wraps it up in Psalm 65 is 65:5. It says, "By awesome deeds of righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far seas." So, what more could we want in any season than this awesome God taking care of us? And that brings me to something else that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the small groups. You have a section in your notebook about small group. I'd like you to turn there and then turn to the second page. There is a list there of PM moderators in the rooms they're in. There will be plenty of people to help you find these rooms tonight. Believe me, we're going to get you where you need to be, ladies. So don't worry about that. Okay? And then there's a checklist on the opposite, on the left-hand side. And actually, your moderators will be going through quite a bit of that with you tonight, so I'm not going to take the time to do it. Our small groups meet immediately after the lecture. You have about 10 minutes to get over there for 40 minutes, 45 minutes at the most. We like you out by 8:30, huh, moderators? We're very chatty women, and sometimes that's hard. But we know that you need to get home. You have things to do, so we do shoot for 8:30 to get you out. The moderators are eagerly anticipating your arrival tonight. They are ready for you. This is a real special group of women because they have this servant's heart for the women who attend the study. They have been trained to be like your shepherds, your own personal little cute little shepherds. Just think of them that way. They're there to help you, guide you, direct you as you discuss the lecture, the lesson, which is your homework. And, hey, what are we going to do with this now that we know we're supposed to do something with this? So the living it out, what are some ideas to do that? How are we going to get this accomplished? And then also the lifting the needs in the group up in prayer. So they're ready. They've been praying for you as they receive your names. And so you're going to be in for a wonderful time, a fellowship with them, and you will feel very loved. We're very big on our small groups. We think it's a really good place to be. And right now, I would usually just want to say, so go for it. You know, but let me give you just a little bit more encouragement as far as the small groups go. We know that it might be a little bit out of your comfort. Maybe it was out of your comfort zone to come here tonight. It was an act of faith. But you're here, and you're okay, huh? So just trust him a little more and let him take you over to that small group, too. You will be blessed. The small group is a place for fun, laughing, sharing, maybe a few tears, a little bit of emotion. You know, we don't have any men sitting in there telling us we need to be logical and rational, so we can be a little emotional. It's kind of nice, as much as we love our guys. It's also a place where your prayer needs can be lifted. You can take your prayer needs into this small group and have them prayed for, lifted to the God that can do something about them. And ladies, you're going to be so blessed as you pray for other people, as you pray for the other ladies and take their requests home with you during the week and pray for them too. The small group affords you a place to grow in God's grace as you step out in faith. As we're learning to walk closer in obedience to him with the application of the word. James tells us that we're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hear it, but do it. And if we don't, we deceive ourselves. And I really like that example of the Dead Sea. Actually, it was used in one of our services here at Calvary recently. But the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea in Israel. The Dead Sea doesn't have an outlet, but the Dead Sea is full of lots of stuff. Good stuff, maybe some bad stuff, I don't know. I didn't see any bad stuff when I was looking at it, but it doesn't have a way to get out of there. So it's kind of like that with us. We have anointed teachers. God uses them in incredible ways. And we take this all in while we're sitting in lecture, and we need an outlet for it. So the small group does afford that. It's one of the ways that you can use it. Have an outlet for what you're taking in. It's really all about growth. God wants us to grow up. He doesn't want us to stay cute little baby Christians forever. Doesn't work. I tried it. You can't stay a baby Christian forever. My husband and I both tried it, actually. It was like we were up in the grandstands watching the Christian life. You know, hooting and hollering and saying, wow, that's cool. But don't ask me to come down there and help because I'm scared. That's a scary place to go. I think it's really important that we cooperate with God for the growth that he wants to bring into our life. Which brings me to another point about the small groups. It's a place to connect with your sisters in Christ. And the older I get, the more I realize how much we as women need each other. We really do. We need each other for sharing, praying, encouraging, mentoring, accountability. How about fellowship? All those things. I think that at times we might think, oh, you know, like somebody said, things are calm right now. I don't think I'll go to small group. I really don't think I need it. I disagree. I think that you need this kind of a connection in any season in your life. And let's think of it just a little bit differently. It might not be about us at all. It might be about how God wants to use us in somebody else's life. So that's something to think about. The important thing, and above all to remember, is that God created the small groups as part of the study. He creates the study. I know that you see a lot of women involved, but we're just being used. It is spirit-led and spirit-filled. It's God's study. So take advantage of everything he has for you here, all the provisions he's made for you. We're just happy you're here. We're very blessed to be here, to serve you, and to study God's word with you. Enjoy your small group tonight, ladies.
Good evening. My name is Odessa McLean, and I'm the outreach coordinator for the evening. My song is, "You Are All I Need to Get By." Motown. Thank you. When my mother was sick with spinal meningitis in 2000, I had to go to New York. Before I got there, the doctor told me that I might as well make funeral arrangements because she didn't have much time left. So when I got there, she was in ICU, and she was very, very sick. I arrived on a Monday. By Thursday, she was on the regular ward because she had gotten so much better, which was really very good. But there was a very young doctor who was terribly insensitive who told me to pull the plug, that she didn't have much time left, so why, you know, go through all of this treatment and everything else. And I had a few words with him. Within 2 weeks, my mother was in a senior rehabilitation center in Riverdale, New York, which is Upper Bronx. Very nice. When I was... Good, go. When I was growing up, it was a very nice area. My mother always talked about wanting to live there at some point. So when I told her she had made it, she just smiled. The next morning, she had communion and went to meet Jesus. This song is about relying on the only person that matters at a very pivotal time in your life. And the Lord is the only one you can completely rely on. So I changed the words just slightly, just a slight change here and there. And it really is, the lyrics are really words of submission and praise, which I wanted to use to highlight various psalms that helped me at this time. It was very strange when I got to New York, I kept trying to read 1 John, my favorite book. I couldn't read it. The only thing that made sense was Psalms. They were the only ones I could get into. So the song is, "You're all I need to get by. You're all I need to get by, like the sweet morning dew when I took one look at you. It was plain to see you were my destiny. With my arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life for you. I will go where you lead. You're always there in time of need. And when I lose my will, you'll be there to push me up the hill. There's no looking back for me. You're all I need to get by. You're all I need to get by. Like an eagle protects his nest, for you I'll do my best. Stand by you like a tree. Dare anyone to try and move me. Lord, in you I've found strength when I was torn down. Don't know what's in store, but together we can open any door. Just to do what's good for you and be inspired just a little higher. I know you can make a saint out of a soul that didn't have a goal. Because we've got the right foundation, and with love and determination, you're all I need to get by. You're all I want to strive for and do a little more. You're all the joys under the sun wrapped into one. You're all I need to get by." So, when your God is your strength, your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your refuge, your shield, the horn of your salvation and your stronghold, 18 verses 1 and 2. Who else do you need? When you know that he is full of mercy and daily bears your burdens, 68:19. Who else do you need? When he covers you with his wings and gives you refuge, 91:4. Your soul can rest in him alone, 62:1. And in peace you can lie down and sleep, for he makes you dwell in safety, 4:8. He is my shepherd, and I have all I need in him. That was part one. We have three outreaches this semester. The first one for the month of September are the beautiful Peruvian bags, which are over here. They're $30 a piece. They were made by women in Peru, abandoned women, who make them to have something, you know, of their own, money of their own to spend. They're in the process of trying to make belts and shawls, and who knows, maybe we might have another outreach that would help us there. Our second is for Las Palmas in Calvary Chapel, Juarez, Mexico. There are a group of women who have been abused by husbands and boyfriends. They and their children are being taken care of by some of our pastors down there, and that will be our outreach next month. And then Pure Joy is another outreach, which is in Costa Rica, which we'll have as a third and last outreach for this year. That is for missionary training of the people who are down there and tying them in with those who are in training elsewhere. So we have three. There'll be more detailed information on each and every one. And if anyone wants to find out about our ministry, please come over to the table before or after all of our teaching here, and I'll be glad to explain anything you like. Okay?
My name is Debbie De La Rosa, and I'm a prayer shepherd for the PM Bible study. You'll find Lisa and I more than willing to pray for any of you. We have prayer boxes located throughout this area here, and you're more than welcome to leave prayer that way or come in and see us, and we would once again be very happy to pray with you. The particular season of my life that I wanted to touch upon this evening happened 5 years ago when my family went through a very tragic death. My daughter's 21-year-old boyfriend died. She wrote about her grief. I was amazed. I wanted to share just one of the writings with you. She wrote, "You'll never have to see the day that my veins shattered inside of me, or you'll never have to see the day that I lay on the ground helplessly crying. You'll never have to watch me drowning in pain. You won't ever hear me so desperately crying out your name, because you're eternally in his grace, and he won't let you see the pain of this place anymore." Well, as her mom, I was crushed and broken and mad and just covered the gamut of emotions. Her words were so painful. I wanted to take her pain away. I wanted him to take her pain away. And then I started thinking, this is so unbalanced and I'm not doing it right, and how can I help her? And just went through a lot of turmoil. So the song I picked, it's kind of funny, kind of silly. It's a 1985 hit from a band called Simple Minds, which I find to be ironic. The title of the song was "Don't You Forget About Me." A couple of the lines in the song say, "Won't you come and see me? Will you stand above me? Will you look my way and never love me? The rain keeps falling down." Well, you know, as you can tell, we've kind of moved on, thank God, for his healing. But at that time, you know, this song was, I know it's crazy, but that's what I was thinking about me. I was praying without ceasing for my family, my daughter, his family, and all the people who were involved in this. But I didn't see myself in that prayer picture. I was busy praying for everybody else and not about me. And then it hit me. What about me? Where am I in all of this? I was broken, I was sickened, I was weak, and I just plain couldn't get it together on my own. Well, through my tears, the Lord had me turn to Psalm 1 and just start reading through tears and stress and grief. I came across a number of comforting verses, so whenever the women at Calvary asked me to do this several weeks ago, I went, oh no, here we go again. So I started at the beginning again, and it started coming back to me, but in a different meaning. Psalm 6, verses 2 through 3 say, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am weak. Oh, my Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. That was me. Verses 6 through 7, David writes, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of my grief. This too was me. Finally, in verse 8 and 9, I think Lenya talked about it as she opened, that, you know, the Lord has a way of just, you know, sending some rejoicing and sending some an uplifting verse or word to you. And in verses 8 and 9, he writes, David writes, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Well, he received my prayer. He knew exactly where I was coming from in my grief at that time. So going back to my song, he didn't just forget about me because I deemed that my daughter was so important at the time and the family was so important and that my prayer for her was more important for her than it was for me. I hope this isn't confusing because it's very important that we remember we need to let him know how we feel individually. By the way, I mean, talk about some pride and some sin back then, because I thought I could handle all of this. I was the mom, and I was in control, and we can get over this, and we can get through it. Going back to the song says, will you stand above me? Well, his words say, yes, he will. He's our banner. The song also asks, will you look my way and never love me? Well, he's always looking our way. He's always looking my way, and he has always loved me. So does the rain keep falling? Yes. He doesn't forget about me whenever I tried to be the very best mom I could be to a heartbroken daughter, and I forgot about my relationship with him. He wrote these words to me in Psalm 6, and he heard me. In the study, one of the study Bibles I was reading, I read, and it's a quote, that this was my season of growth. As I studied the past several weeks, I realize that we don't have to be victims of our circumstances or be weighed down by the guilt of sin. Just be honest with God, and he will help you turn your attention from yourself to him. And that's my season. And by the way, we're still going through that season. I think it's just a part of our lives. So thank you for having me, and I look forward to praying for you, Lisa and I do. And do come see us if you would like special prayer. Thank you.
Wow, there's a lot of you. This is so great. I'm Penny Rose. I'm one of the teachers and one of the writers for the women at Calvary. Do you want me to tell you about Lenya's shoes? She wore them to see the president. I was like, to meet the president. Yeah, she did. I was like, I'm wearing pumps. I'm not going to let him see my toes. She didn't care. He didn't care either. It's not that big of a deal. He didn't really care. So, let's see. I'm kind of going to talk about homework and teaching and my psalm in 3 minutes or less. So, my top 10, I think it's Ryan Seacrest now who does it, isn't it? I picked Lady Sings the Blues. And my friends told me today I was smiling way too much for that song, but I'm sorry, I'm happy to see you guys. But and I tied it with Psalm 142. And Psalm 142 is a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Now, I don't know about any of you. Have any of you ever been in the cave of depression? Because I've been in the cave. I am a cave dweller. I go there regularly, spiritually and emotionally. I know I'm smiling, but I'm not kidding. When I was a young mother, I had 3 kids under 5 years old, and I was in the cave of depression. I had to, you know, it was bad. I couldn't even get out of my pajamas. And I had been backslidden, and I couldn't get out of the house. And now I'll cry. It's typical Penny. If you're new, I'm the crier. I'll admit it. And so one day my mom came to my house, and a lot of you know this story, and said, Penny, you got to do something. I'm taking you to Bible study. So she took my kids, and then she took me to Bible study, and I was like, oh, this is what I've been missing in my life, because I had been a believer, and I had walked away, and the Word just restored my soul. And so that's why I am just so passionate about God's Word. It's why I really am so thrilled and why I'm so happy to see you guys here. And so I love what David says in this psalm. He says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. I mean, God knows when you're in the cave. He knows when you're down. And he knows the right way to fix it. And it's in his Word. And he can help you. So, you know, if you're in depression, if you're in distress, I mean, sometimes you may need other help, but there's also help in his Word. Don't be isolated. Don't stay home. Come to the groups and come stay in his Word. And then it says, go to verse 5 and it says, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. That is like my favorite part, because sometimes we feel like it's in the sweet by and by, that sometimes we're not going to ever get any help until, you know, heaven. And, you know, it's not in the land of the living. And I just love it that God gives us help now, that we have this hope in the land of the living, that there is deliverance now. So when I sing the blues, and believe me, I do often, you can ask Lenya, I'm one of those people, I can get a little bit complaining, and you can complain to God. He's not surprised. You can cry out to him. Your portion can be in the land of the living, and your greatest treasure is his Word. And that's why I really want to encourage you. I mean, you don't have your homework. You're going to get it in your small group, and they're going to pass it out and explain to you how to do it. You know, it doesn't take long to do it, and we don't grade your homework. And your moderators aren't going to say, because you didn't do it this week, you can't talk in your group. We're not the meanies. We're the really nicies. So we're pretty nice. But I just want to encourage you to stay in his Word, because it really will fill your heart with radiance. It will fill you with joy, and it will bring you out of the cave of despair, and you won't be singing the blues anymore. So that's my song. Oh, and Shayna is one of our other teachers. I think you guys know her, Shayna Crespo, and she couldn't make it this evening. But her song, and I don't know this song. It shows you how old I am, because she's really young. But her song is Bring on the Rain, but she says it's a country song, so I believe her. And she had a great story about packing her bags and leaving, and then her sin, and then she got rescued from it, but I can't tell it. So maybe you could watch it online. CalvaryABQWomen.org, because it was worth watching, because she's really beautiful and animated and, you know, but I can't tell it. So, but do your homework. You're going to be glad you did.
Buenas noches. Good evening, ladies. My name is Carmen Camino, and I'm the overseer of the evening Bible study. And also, I'm one of your teachers. And I have another top 10 hit. And this time it's classical music. The title is The Blue Danube by Johann Strauss. This waltz has been such an integral part of my life in the good times and in the not so good. When I was growing up in Lima, Peru, my home always resounded with classical music, especially while my dad was alive. When my grandmother turned 80, we threw a great party in her honor, big band and everything, and she danced the Blue Danube with her son. It was wonderful. She looked like a princess. And as I watched her dance, I wanted to capture the magic of that moment. I thought, after all, this might be her last birthday. 10 years later, I watched her dance once again, the Blue Danube, with her son when she turned 90. When I turned 15, I had my quinceañera birthday party. That's the equivalent to the American Sweet 16. And I, too, danced to the tune of the Blue Danube with my uncle since my dad had passed away. And when Wilfred and I got married, we also danced to the Blue Danube. It was just so romantic. I felt like a princess. 10 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great day in my life. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. I lost my business, my financial stability, my credit. I almost lost my home. I tried to get a job, but there was no job for me, even though I had a master's degree. Not understanding what was going on, I pleaded, "Lord, please help me make sense of all of this. I want to do your will, but I don't know what direction to take." And after a year of praying and struggle, the Lord spoke to my heart, not in an audible way, but so clear. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." And he repeated it over and over again, "Be still and know that I am God." Then I turned on the radio, and this song began to play, "Be still and know that he is God." I went to a card shop. I needed a card, and this one practically jumped out at me. It said, "Be still and know that I am God." Then that Sunday, I went to church, and the worship leader began singing a solo. Guess what? "Be still and know that he is God." And that Wednesday, when the pastor began the service, he began praying, "Be still and know that I am God. Lord, are you talking to me?" I was a baby Christian at that time, so I really didn't quite get it. God was talking to me through Psalm 46, Psalm 46:10 to be exact. God wanted me to trust him, and I did. It wasn't easy. It was the worst of times, and it was the best of times as I sat at his feet and learned from him. And as I read Psalm 46, and as I listened to the music of the Blue Danube resounding throughout my home, God became real. He became my refuge, my strength, my help. I had nothing to fear. All I needed was to be still and know that he is God. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Larissa Lesko, and I am married to Pastor Chip. I'm sure you've seen him around campus from time to time. But the song I chose for our top chart, and by the way, I topped the charts. Woohoo! I didn't know I was going to do that. But it's this song titled Fidelity by Regina Spektor. And if some of you younger gals out there know the song, it's very poppy and it's a very catchy tune. But I chose it for the title because God is the author of fidelity. He is the author, the true author of faithfulness. about, I guess it was a week ago today, I returned from delivering my son, my baby, my only begotten son, to college, to Bible college in California. Yeah, woo! Well, these past 6 to 8 months, I've kind of been going through a very strange season. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Something was going on. I mean, I'd still wake up in the morning, and I had peace and joy, and, you know, life was good, but my heart was saddened, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Then it occurred to me one day that I was mourning the fact that my son was going to be gone. Our entire relationship was about to change. My traditional role as a mother was coming to an end, and soon a new role would brand our relationship. So as I began reflecting back over the years, remembering him as a baby, I just couldn't help but notice God's faithfulness woven throughout our lives. The psalm that I chose was Psalm 89. And of course, in the Psalms, God's faithfulness is just everywhere. And this particular psalm says, and I'm just going to skip around to a few verses. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. You have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Skipping down to verse 5. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assemblies of the Holy One. O Lord God Almighty, verse 8, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Righteousness, verse 14, and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Now, perhaps you're here this evening and you're going through a season where you're struggling just to see a glimpse of God's faithfulness. I know a lot of people are going through financial trials. There's maybe you have loved ones that are ill. There's so many prayer requests on the internet, and so I know that people are going through difficult seasons, but I just want to encourage you to reflect back over your life at times that God has been faithful in your life, and that will help you through this difficult season. Now, like I said, I didn't realize until this morning that I topped the chart, that this song topped the chart. But I think that it's fitting because seasons, all of the seasons that all of these women have gone through are just proof of God's faithfulness. For example, God was faithful to lead Jen moment by moment, guiding Jen with his counsel. He was faithful to show Lenya that she needed help, his deliverance, from her self-reliance and needed her to trust in her Heavenly Father. He was faithful to show Sharon how big he really is, in contrasting seasons in her life, and to show her the majesty of his name in all the earth. He was faithful to show Jerry how awesome he is and how he is the confidence in all the ends of the earth. He was faithful to show Odessa that he was all she needed to get by and remind her that he is her fortress, her deliverer, her strength, her shield, and her salvation. He was faithful to remind Debbie that God hadn't forgotten about her and that he always loves her. He was faithful to deliver Penny from the cave and graciously lead her to his word in the land of the living. And he was so faithful to speak to Carmen, speak to her to remind her to be still and know that he is God. And I just want to close with one final psalm. It's Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.
Well, we hoped that this evening you'd get to know us, and now we want to get to know you. So we encourage you to head over to your small groups. If you don't know where you're going, again, look at the page in your small groups that list the small group leaders and what room they're in. If you don't know how to find the room, there are ladies wearing little red cardinals on their shirts, and they act as hostesses and as our greeters, and so they'll actually walk you to the room or tell you how to get there. If you can't find someone with a little red bird, please go into the women's ministry office, and one of the gals in the office will help you find your place, okay? We'll see you next week.